Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
The Devil You Know. I'm Rebecca Lieb.
I'm Jason Horton.
And this is Ghost Town.
In West Germany, 1976, there was the exorcism of Annelise Michel.
Ooh.
And we talked about the episode of the Greyhound bus 1170 being the most disturbing episode.
Oh, no. It's going to give it a run for its money.
This one is the most disturbing one.
You're already calling it. We've gotten three sentences and you've just introduced it. That is a very confident allegation.
I had a lot of trouble with this one.
Whoa.
Not based on the information, because the information is just the information.
Mm-hmm.
It's the photos and the audio.
Oh, no. You're going to make me look at some shit. I know it.
It honestly was disturbing. Like, I stopped working on it, and then I started again because I kind of made myself upset.
Oh, my God. This is interesting because on the way to my apartment, Jason and I were discussing how I didn't sleep last night because I had just a ton of nightmares. So thank you. Here we go. Here we go again.
How about this? Pull up, do a search. And if you're listening, if you're hearing this,
mm-hmm.
I say do this with caution. Maybe I'm just skittish.
Okay.
And maybe it's that. But I was actually pretty jarred from this. So
what am I
look
searching
up,
here?
Annelise Michel, which is M-I-C-H. E-L.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, God. What? Okay, so I'm going to just describe to you what I'm seeing here. So there's this, like cute young woman, and she's got, like, a little brunette bob, and then next to her is what I assume is her, it's her same face, and she's thin, like, sullen, and she's got blood around her mouth is open.
Look around her eyes.
Gaunt.
And it's and red. There's like, some really, keep looking at more pictures.
Oh, God.
There's a
oh
lot.
Oh, my God. She just, it reminds me of, like, concentration camp style humanity, where it's, like, sullen, like, her teeth are all, like, bloodied, and And she's laying on this pillow, and she's got this dress that's a similar pattern as the pillow.
Do they have one of her mother, like, kind of having her in a headlock?
Let's see.
That's there as well.
Jesus. Oh.
So I'm just warning everybody. It's in black and white.
Is this it?
Yeah.
Ugh. It is. This is like.
It was so upsetting. I thought it was from like a movie because it was so.
Yeah, these people. If you showed me a picture of Annelise Michel, her like school photo, and then you showed me the picture of this woman's body, if they weren't next to each other, I'd be like, "That can't be the same person. They're not the same age. They're not anything alike." Like, yeah, this is pretty sad and pretty.
And this
spooky.
Happened over a relatively short amount of time, and she's 23 when she was 23.
Yeah, this woman could be like in her 50s. Like it's really disturbing. It's a lot here. There's a lot. You really hit me out the gate with some pretty heavy shit, Jason.
Yeah, I wanted to kind of warn people. And there's audio as well. Going to, at my discretion, edit. I don't know if I'm going to or not. Not because some people can.
This is the word. This is a very bad.
It's really bad.
There's some really, okay.
Yeah, so, and I wasn't expecting it, so the shock was, and there's audio, which is also very, very disturbing.
Oh,
so
boy.
At my discretion, I might add it, and then it's, kind of up to you to listen or not listen. I mean, some people out there just have a stronger constitution for this stuff. I do not. I do not have a very strong constitution. And the story is also very sad, and it is also one of those that is very angering, especially at the end. I feel like we've kind of, sometimes I feel like we go a little bit a little bit soft with some of the stuff. Not that it's soft. I don't want to, like,
you don't want to degrade the story. They're all in a dark, esoteric kind of space, but some of them are really also very personal, I think. I think when you get the some of them we like veer away from kind of the graphic stuff, or we touch upon it and kind of move on to more broader themes. But sometimes we don't do that. And sometimes we're here and we're about to buckle up.
Are you familiar with the movie The Exorcism of Emily Rose?
Yes.
So this is based on that.
Okay.
Which I did not see, but that's a very popular movie in the kind of current exorcism.
Yeah, the exorcism vernacular. They talk about the captions of the photos that I just, they were like, Emily Rose, Annalise, Michelle, yeah. Whatever. Okay.
And I have a feeling the movie would not be as terrifying as probably what happened.
Of course not.
Annalise, Michelle... You know, there's going to be a lot of kind of you almost kind of see this coming. It's a really great breeding ground for something like this. Mm-hmm. She grew up very Catholic, a very Catholic family.
All things good come from really staunch and strict, oppressive religious upbringings.
And I think, and again, not everyone who has a very religious, you know, very religious upbringing has issues that are exactly like this.
No, but this is an outlier. But I just think, especially with Catholicism, all the mythology around it gets very like...
It's intense.
Yeah.
It's
intense. That's like being nice too in a lot of ways. But again, great art, cool reliquaries, into it.
So we're in West Germany in the 1960s through the 1970s. So it's pretty modern-ish. I mean, I like to think it was like, that was 25 years ago. But you know, we're talking 50 years ago.
Yeah.
But still, when you're dealing with modern medicine, when it comes to psychiatry and understanding behavioral.
Sure.
It's relatively recent. But obviously, you know, even in the last 50 years, there's probably been a lot of advancements and stuff like that.
Definitely.
And we're also now in a time where The Exorcist came out, right?
Yeah.
We have that on our minds. It was a very, like, it was a time where that stuff was huge. It was very powerful. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that, I'm not saying that it necessarily affected this, but when you add up a lot of these things, you're going to be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, when we talk about, too, these things being in the media, like stuff like the BBC hoax kind of a thing, like, I think... In the 60s, it's like, yeah, of course we know it's TV, it's a movie, but at the same time, there is less of an acceptance of the surreality, fake, you know, the precipice of that medium, and people, I think, take it a lot, it's a little more ingrained in like, oh, this could happen, or this did happen, or it's a little bit closer than, I think, our perception of movies now.
Annalise Michelle grew up very Catholic, went to Mass twice a week. And when she was 16, she blacked out at school and walked around in a daze. She didn't remember what happened, but her friends and family said that she was like in a trance.
That happened to me too once, but I was on mushrooms.
Yeah, this is probably not...
That's not that story.
It's not that... It's I mean, like, no, I mean, yeah, I don't... And a year later, she had a similar thing happen, and she woke up in a trance and wet her bed.
Whoa.
And her body went through... convulsions, and she was shaking uncontrollably. They took her to a neurologist, which is, you know, I want to give credit.
Good step.
I want to give credit where you know, it's not one of these stories where it was just like immediately.
Yeah, we got a bunch of priests in here. We tied her to a bed.
They seemed to do due diligence initially. And they diagnosed her with temporal lobe epilepsy that causes seizures, loss of memory, hallucinations.
Okay. So that, it's like they get an explanation before it even begins.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Also, this is something I never heard of. So temporal lobe epilepsy can cause something which I never heard of called Geschwind syndrome, which is a disorder that causes hyper-religiosity. I don't know if that's the pronunciation.
In that person. So it makes them super religious, or they fixate on religion.
They get, it's a very kind of intense, like everything's a very non-rational, unrealistic, intense effect on religion. And it seemed like they were already in that I'm sure, you know, going to mass twice a week, being very religious, that
it's already pretty ingrained in their family culture.
And that, which I've never heard before, is, you know, probably is going to play into this.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
Oh boy.
So she started taking medication for the epilepsy. She enrolled in school, the University of Würzburg, in 1973. Mm-hmm. The drugs were not helpful.
Okay.
You know, because sometimes, you know, I'm not an expert, but I in my experience, what I learned now is, you know, there are more drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do trials of the drugs.
Yeah, it's a process. It's a giant, long process to figure out what works well for you, because everybody is different.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's, you know, with MRIs and advancements in science, you could probably figure out more. But sometimes it's like, well, we tried this one pill and it didn't work. Like,
yeah, it's like, well, fuck me. All right, I guess I'm insane now or something.
So the drugs weren't helping, and her condition started getting worse. I don't know if, like, getting older, or it just triggers, like, once the floodgates open, it just doesn't slow
it's interesting
down.
How some things get better once you get older. Like, you kind of age out of some things, and some things get worse. Again, everybody's different. Terrifying.
So she was taking her medication, but then she began to believe that she was possessed by a demon.
Oh, boy.
And that she needed to find a solution outside of medicine. So she, I guess, initially
she's self-motivated. That's very interesting. This is already, like, a very different exorcism story than most, I think, we talk about, and certainly ones that I hear of.
So she said that she would see the face of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
She heard demons whispering in her ear. Now, I mean, you know, people hear voices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's whatever, bipolar, schizophrenia. Mm-hmm. She heard demons telling her that she was damned and would rot in hell while she was praying, and she concluded the devil must be possessing her. She sought out priests, I'm sure, you know, family involved.
She must have been a great college dorm mate.
Yeah, I got to imagine she probably, you know, had a pretty... It's not like she was like, I was just chilling and, you know, like, I was like a kickback girl. It sounds like she probably, you know, and as we find out from her family, it's probably, you know...
A lot going on?
Probably a lot going on, and sounds pretty devout.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which you can even, you know, you take people that are very devout, and even if things aren't this bad, sometimes they take things that are happening and they put it through their, you know, through their filter, and it comes out the way it comes out.
Yeah, totally.
So she reached out to, I'm sure they had access to a lot of priests going to mass twice a week, and they were like, we can't help you, and suggested medical help, which is great, which, I, you know, you find, we've talked about exorcism a lot.
This is so interesting. They're like, get help. And she's like, the devil is in these pills.
Yeah, I feel like the church has always kind of been represented as being like, hey, you want to, it's like, oh, we need an exorcism. They're like, yeah, they don't have to do it. They're just kind of like, it's always like a special case. You need permission.
Yeah.
So they've, you know, always been... reluctant.
Yeah.
Even represented
in
movies.
Except with my friend who got a weird exorcism when she was 14 years old.
Yeah.
That was just like willy-nilly. They had a coupon and like, here, go do it. But in Germany, 1960, still very...
If you're going to save a few bucks, I mean, it's a little different.
I mean, it's just sensible. It's just common sense.
Yeah. So they needed permission from a bishop or whatever they needed permission from.
Yeah, you need
anyway, to
punch
do that.
Card.
So her delusion started getting worse.
Sure.
She would rip the clothes off her body.
Mm-hmm.
She performed up to 400 squats a day. Crawled under a table and barked like a dog for 2 days. She ate spiders and coal, bit the head off a dead bird.
It's so metal.
Hold on, this is get licked her own urine from the floor.
Oh, God.
So in that sense, I do have some kind of... sympathy.
Sure, this person is clearly mentally
for
ill.
For her and her family, because it's a very extreme thing.
Yeah, very extreme.
Again, I don't know, you know, not in the room. You don't know how what's feeding into what.
Yeah.
The place has got to be wall-to-wall with religious objects.
Yeah.
So it's a constant, like, I would imagine that if, just say we were, pretend we were obsessed with, like, fame and celebrity, right? Mm-hmm. You know, getting more people to listen to the podcast and acceptance.
Let's just pretend.
Pretend.
Again, just humor us.
We're totally free from that.
We are here.
But,
we're just doing the good work of reading the internet for the people.
Maybe we would be obsessed with, am I not tall enough? Am I not funny enough? And all those things would play into us. But when you're surrounded by religious objects and you've grown up that way and you've been kind of, indoctrinated or whatever you want to call it, that is going to be the thing.
Mm-hmm.
So her mother was like, I'm going to get a priest. And in, again, I want to be fair, in her defense, at least according to the information, a lot of intense stuff has happened.
Sure.
And it's, there probably could have been a little more, I mean, I'm sure there's people with, if you brought to enough doctors, they'd be like, yeah, we've seen a lot of people like this, and this is how we've treated them.
Yeah.
For better or for worse. This, I'm trying to, the first person to have whatever this is, but they're probably like, let's go another route. They found a priest, Ernst Alt, who was like, yes, I believe this. And you, for whatever reason, either he truly believed it, or he's like, I want to be part of this, or this is now my calling. I'm sure there's probably maybe 10 priests that were like, no, go to a doctor. And then Ernst Alt was like, let's do it.
Yeah.
Oh, and the priest, he said officially, legally, in court documents, she didn't look like an epileptic.
Oh.
That's his expert opinion.
Oh, cool. I looked her up and down, and she didn't seem to have that condition, so we went for it. So I destroyed her.
Annalise wrote to Alt, I am nothing. Everything about me is vanity. What should I do? I have to improve. You pray for me. And also once told him, I want to suffer for other people, but this is so cruel.
Hmm.
So Alt, Ernst Alt petitioned the local bishop, Joseph Stengel.
Oh, cool name.
Yeah. Not a great name.
Stengler. Yeah, Stengels.
Kind of a very intense name.
Yeah, Mr. Stang.
He approved the request and granted a local priest, Arnold Renz, permission to perform an exorcism, but ordered that it be carried out in total secret.
Okay. They're like, we got a rep to protect. Yeah. We're the Catholic Church.
So, you know, we know about exorcisms. We're all experts.
Yeah.
But as far as in the Catholic Church in the 1500s, priests would use the Latin phrase, Vade retro Satana, go back Satan, to expel demons from their mortal hosts. The practice of Catholic exorcism was codified in the Ritual Romanum, a book of Christian practices assembled in the 16th century. The 16th century.
Yeah. 16th. Not current. Explicitly not current. And very archaic, probably not useful. Why are we doing this with this text?
In the 1960s, they were very rare among Catholics, but again, we, like we discussed, movies like The Exorcist caused a renewed interest in, that was a, it's interesting how time has gone on. It's like, oh no, let's go down this road. This is a great road. So over the next 10 months, following the bishop's approval of the exorcism, Alt and Renz conducted 67 exorcisms, lasting up to 4 hours on Annalise.
God, she was just like reduced to a puddle.
Through the sessions, she revealed she was possessed by 5 demons.
Oh my God.
Lucifer, Cain, Judas Iscariot, Adolf Hitler, and Nero.
Whoa. I didn't realize that human historical figures could be demons.
It's interesting that Hitler is brought up, especially, you know, how Germany, how Germans feel. I was in Germany, I'll say. I was in Germany.
A world traveler on our hands. Yeah, I'm just I see.
But, you know, the I did go to where, and this is allegedly, but this is, there's a marker where Hitler's, I guess, grave is, which is interesting. That's a little side note. Someone's going to look into doing. I just don't know how much I want to talk about.
Hitler?
I just don't know how much.
A fun Hitler ep.
Yeah. But the imagery and the, you know, the of Germany plus the religion, it's just very, very intense.
Yeah, that's, I mean, again, it's like, what is going on here, really?
The spirits would kind of, I guess they would kind of vie for power inside her body and would communicate, obviously, through her mouth with a low growl. And there's audio of that. And, you know, we did the episode on the Enfield poltergeist, which, you know, the girl was making very scary sounds.
Yeah, growling.
But she was just making that. This is...
It's like not... It doesn't feel hoaxy to you.
Not at all. No.
So do you believe in exorcism? I mean, what do you... I mean, should I ask you this after you're done with your spiel?
I mean, there's more spiel. You know what? How about this? How about we put down the holy water?
Just for a second. And take, but I'm still thirsty.
You have to drink it. You know anything about holy water? Well, on that, we will take a little break.
A breaky.
Today's episode is sponsored by Podcorn. Now, not every podcast can automatically make $1 million like Ghost Town.
Yeah, millions.
Of course, we're grateful and happy to have so many supporters and be able to advertise all kinds of great things, but let's face it, it's hard to make money as a podcaster, but that's where Podcorn comes in. Podcorn is a marketplace connecting podcasters to podcast sponsorship opportunities such as host read ads, interview segments, topical discussions, and more. Podcorn is laid out so clear, it's concise. I said the workflow is great. You never give up any of the rights to your podcast, and Podcorn is here to support you every step along the way. That way you're protected and compensated for the work that you do for brands.
Podcorn has a ton of great advertisers, and we're super excited to help. Another perk? With Podcorn, there is no middleman. Podcasters of all sizes with as many quirky ukulele riffs in the intro can browse and choose opportunities right on the platform, set their own rates, and collaborate with brands directly without any exclusivities. Sweet, sweet freedom. The whole point is to give podcasters transparency, creative freedom, and full control of how and when we monetize. If only everything were like Podcorn, am I right? Click the link in Ghost Town's show notes to sign up to Podcorn and start browsing sponsorship opportunities immediately. That's podcorn.com/podcasters.
This was suggested by Chris's Trash, our friend Chris.
Yeah, he's all over the place.
This guy's
a helpful dude.
He's super helpful. Thank you. Bored at work, and he's staring at these pictures, I guess. I don't know if he's not terrified or what he's doing.
He seems like he has a firm constitution, very grounded, doesn't feel very shakable.
And he's a patron. And there's another
episode. He got his pin.
He did get his pin. He tweeted, but he got his pin. I got it. Cool. No one else complained about not getting their pins, but
cool dude.
If you want to know what's the deal with these pins or another episode on exorcisms, It's at patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
That's right.
Bonus episodes. Like an episode like this might show up on there with no ads at all.
None to speak of.
Yeah. So, and you get them in advance and you get them without ads.
Advance, without ads, maybe a pin. What else do you need?
Content?
No. Get out of here. I don't think so. We have a couple Instagram.
Yeah, we've got a lot of great suggestions lately. Massages. It's kind of hard to keep up.
Yeah, big BIGGSKY _ says, Memorial Mound is bizarre if you haven't heard of it. LOL, this dude in the 70s was trying to revolutionize cheap burials. The coffins were suspended in air in some weird deadly body Carvana setup. That sounds amazing. Families could go, quote unquote, visit their relatives' graves via 1980s TV screens. LMAO. Well, the business went belly up, as you could imagine, because what the fuck? Well, come to find out, there was a hell of bodies left in that bitch. That sounds exactly up our alley.
Exactly, yeah.
I feel invigorated by that message. I'm ready to rock and roll. We also have a message from Amanda.Sal95. She seems lovely. She says, hi, y'all. I discovered Ghost Town Pod, and I've been doing my best to binge it whenever I can. That's right. That's your job. We own you. You're both so funny, and I feel like I'm listening to friends talk whenever I have it on. Ha ha. Friends that you just can't interact with. The topics you cover are really interesting, too, and I like that you have a variety of topics mixed with comedy. I'm currently starting episode 67, so I should be catching up soon. Not if we can help it.
Yeah,
we're going to keep popping them out.
2 a week, them out.
Yeah, no, we appreciate that. So happy that you enjoy it. Like that you like the comedy. Oftentimes, you know, people are like, no, less comedy, less Rebecca personal stuff, less Rebecca personal stuff.
Or we're doing comedy, they're like that you think that's comedy? Yeah, and we're like, yeah, that's what we call it.
You're a joke.
Yeah.
Your lives are a joke, and they're not wrong.
No.
But I don't know.
I find that the thing is the people are not wrong.
We
are definitely ones that are wrong, but we just won't
we
stop.
We won't stop. We don't take criticism at all. We don't take constructive or unconstructive criticism. I do want to plug one more thing, which I don't really talk about often. But the show that I've been working on, Brain Games, is on Nat Geo. It premieres January 20th.
Coming up.
So we're really coming up. Jason is featured in an episode.
You might see me doing some things.
Yeah, he's a freaking star. Yeah. You know, dude is a star. I wrote some weird games.
Yeah, you wrote.
I'm in one of the extended episodes. My voice, that's not true. My voice is in it. So if you aren't sick of this shit, check out some Brain Games. It's a really fun show. And unlike this podcast, you can watch it with your kids.
Yeah, definitely not this episode. And if you want to rate and review on anywhere you listen, whether Apple Podcast or wherever you're listening.
I said Patreon.
Yeah, you could. We could use some positive reviews.
That would be wonderful.
We take a hit, and
that would be wonderful.
We'd appreciate it.
Yeah, and if you don't feel positively, maybe hold off on the review. Tell us what you want
us to change.
Or just
lie to us.
You think tell us what you want us to change, and we'll do whatever you ask of us. We'll do it.
Yeah.
We are not joking around.
So eventually, Annalise Michelle died, as you saw from the photos. And it was at 23. It was extremely
which,
brutal.
There were photos of her alive at that time and then dead, and they look the same, too. It's really, really sad.
Yeah, and she's very, very young, and there's a lot of audio and a lot of photos that, you know, really, what I'm telling you is like, sure, I've heard this story before, but when you're seeing it, because it's so recent that it's not hard to find the information, but it's also so recent, you'd think there'd be more modern medicine involved.
Mm-hmm.
The demons were continually battling within her. The Hitler demon would say, "People are stupid as pigs. They think it's all over after death. It goes on." And Judas saying that Hitler was nothing but a big mouth who had no real say in hell.
Wow. It's like we're getting the inner post-death scripts of historical figures. It's almost educational.
Through the sessions, Annalise would frequently talk about dying to atone for the wayward youth of the day, the apostate priest of the modern church. Whatever that is.
Oh, man.
She broke the bones and ripped the tendons in her knees from continually kneeling in prayer.
Oh, God. What it takes, that is awful.
Over the 10 months, Annalise was restrained so the priest could actually do the exorcism rites. She slowly stopped eating and drinking, and she eventually died of malnutrition and dehydration on July 1st, 1976 at 23 years old. So I initially, because there's a lot of things, I've heard of other situations, I was looking into other similar exorcism, and they would try to starve out.
Yeah.
So this wasn't a case of, you know, getting refused food. She was refusing.
Yeah, and they do that. I mean, that's still actually a very medically viable way to deal with a lot of different diseases and cancers and things. So it's it's interesting. It was almost like her against science in a lot of... What about the picture of her mom in the headlock? Is there any, like... Or you just presume it's just... Subduing.
Yeah. And it was pretty compelling because it wasn't like, I feel fine. I just had cut bangs and like, no, the devil made you have bangs. It was a pretty, and you get, listen, there are people that are already religious. They're already susceptible. It's the 1970s. I mean, we don't even have satanic panic yet.
Yeah.
So we're not even at that point in like the early 80s when we have that. So
no, but this is also post-war Germany, which I think we haven't really touched on, to like this wounded country who was decimated too by these wars, like one after the other, like limping along. And so the idea of like feeling untethered and lost, like I bet depression was high. I bet mental illness was high. It was not a good time.
And maybe, you know, religion was an answer, there was solace in it, but with comfort. If you're tripling down on religion, you're paying the price in this situation, I suppose.
I mean, this doesn't make Catholicism look cool. This is a sad story of someone really leaning into an identity that killed them.
And probably, and I say probably, we don't know, for example, but there could have been way more steps taken. It was just initial steps, and there's a point where you're so far gone.
And also she clearly had mental illness, but like all of the people around her who sees someone becoming malnourished to the point of they're about to die and they still don't go to a hospital. Her own mother. You know, I can't even imagine that. Like, even if you believe that they are possessed, you have to be like, but this person needs water. This person needs fluids. So, like, let's take them to a hospital to do that. But nobody did that.
I don't know what you expect the outcome is going to be. Even, let's just say it's successful. What do you think is going to be the...
Yeah.
The vessel is still...
Yeah, just a wounded human being.
So after her death, the story became... big sensation. It was a national sensation in Germany. Her parents and the two priests were charged with negligent homicide.
Mm-hmm. Good.
They came before the court and used a recording of the exorcism to try to justify their actions. So they were pretty...
But you've heard the recording. I have not yet.
I've heard the recording. Yes, I've heard I've heard some of the recordings.
So you think it's pretty compelling, disturbing. I mean, not like you believe this, but it's pretty compelling.
It's compelling in the sense that, you know, they probably were like, we're out of our depths. And,
yeah, and
we
weren't scary.
Doing it. We weren't doing it. I don't think the intention was like, I just want to get rid of this girl. Let's just say it's an exorcism. Yeah. I don't think that's what it is, but you still have, you know, like a due diligence to care for somebody who needs the care. And then at that point, whether science, you know, or nature or life kind of takes kind of control of what happens, but it's really not for you to intercede with that.
Yeah.
The two priests were found guilty of manslaughter.
Great.
Resulting from negligence. And they were sentenced to, give me the amount of time that would be sufficient for you.
For manslaughter, which is not...
Not murder.
Not murder.
Yes.
Manslaughter, I would say, I mean, I bet they were maybe a year.
6 months. Hold on. Suspended. Ugh. For 3 years probation.
God. The but no more exorcisms for those 3 years?
Only 3 a month. There was a limit. No, I don't know. What the parents were exempt from any punishment as they suffered enough. So they a time served, I suppose.
Which is bullshit.
I think that's a German, that's within German law.
Yeah, it's such, America, such a subjective valuation. It's like someone died.
So years after the exorcism, German bishops retracted the claim that she was possessed and said that she was mentally ill. So they walked that back.
Wow.
I don't know if that's for to save face or...
But wouldn't that be the... That would be not saving face. That would be rescinding what they so adamantly believed.
Right, yeah.
So that feels like even shittier. Where they didn't even... Later they were like, actually, no. So like, so she died in vain? So you actually knew what was going on and you didn't do anything?
A quote from her mother... I know we did the right thing because I saw the sign of Christ in her hands.
Fuck off.
She was bearing stigmata, and that was a sign from God that we should exorcise the demons. She died to save other lost souls and atone for their sins.
What?
That's Anna Michelle, her mother, in 2005. So she's like, I would do it again.
Changing the narrative to make her a martyr. She saw stigmata. You know what happens when you malnourish someone and they're... praying so much and losing their minds, like they get injured. It's not stigma. That's so, I just, religion, this makes me very angry.
Yeah, I figured.
You thought this was going to be one that's going to.
Well, it's, you know, I've talked about having the episode, the Greyhound 1170 episode, and talk about how, like.
I feel angrier, though, for this, because that one, it's like nobody could really do any, like it just happened. You know, like it happened. This one, it's like everyone was complicit in this, like there's so many steps someone could have been like, whoa, let's take her to a hospital.
And but maybe
it
was,
and then they rescinded. Then they were like, actually, it was mental illness. Fuck off.
Maybe it was two other priests that were like, hey, listen, this is not what we thought it was going to be.
Yeah,
like we're going to like, and the I'm sure if the priests were like, listen, in our expert opinion, we're the ones wearing a collar, and I know you see that. You're
that's right.
You kind of fall in line with what we say.
We're your authority figures.
We say we should take her to a hospital and kind of do both.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm sure the parents would be like, sure, whatever you say.
Yeah.
Or at least eventually kind of give into that.
I mean, you're watching your kid die. You're just watching them die over the course of 10 months.
They don't think they're seeing their kid. They're like, that's not my kid.
Yeah,
that's,
but like...
Judas Iscariot, it's Nero.
Sure, but like in the vessel of your child, like that, what, that doesn't, I mean, yes, suffering, so they don't have to go to jail, great, but like, take her to get some fluids. Like, bandage those knees. I don't, like, what is going, this is not a good one.
So this would be the point where I either decide or not decide to add the audio.
I think you should do it, and we're telling people right now, if they don't want to listen to it, they don't have to listen to it. But I want to listen to it.
Okay.
And I want to listen now.
So Rosen has more advice to you, huh?
Yeah. Rosen has... Already wings the pain.
Wings the
pain? Yeah. Und ich gehe schon wieder meine wings the pain, weil ich ein Fahrer jetzt für Unwort anhalte.
Ja.
idea.
Hello?
Fast!
Warum?
Weil er eine Nein, ich sag's nicht.
Guck mal diese Bewegung. Eine gewaltige Macht, die den Satan und alle Dämonen.
Aber das glauben nicht viele. Die halbe ist hier nur volles Weibezeug. Zum Glück.
Wer ist der Schlüssel?
Ja. Yeah!
Sage die Wahrheit im Namen des Vaters und des Sohnes und des Heiligen Geistes. Amen.
Nicht zu anschauen, Gottes heißt. Ja, ja.
Sind aber glücklich.
Glaubt auch niemand.
können denn nicht sehen. Halt dein Maul!